fine girl, yeah. Oh, fine girl, yeah. Fine girl, yeah. Oh, fine girl, yeah. Fine girl, yeah. Oh, fine girl, yeah. Fine girl, yeah. Oh, fine girl, yeah.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Mind Vanya Podcast with me, Lala, and my beautiful, talented, smart, gorgeous co-host. What's your name? What is your name?
My name is Nora Frida. Hey, what's up, y'all? Hi.
Hey, Nora. I see you with your blue head wrap going on. I cannot wait to check in and see what your mental health is looking like and what your vision for your mental health is, because I know it's going to have something to do with that head wrap on your head. So welcome, guys. My name is Inlara, and this is my co-host, Nora, and this is another episode of Mind Vanya. And this episode and every other episode after this and this season is sponsored by STIM Podcast. Shout out, shout out, shout out. Woo! Woo! And we have in the house today is just, let's just take a moment and just breathe, because in the house today, we just have a very special somebody, like somebody that really holds us, you know, like chewing gum. Someone who holds us like chewing gum. You know how someone's chewing gum and then your teeth drop. That's how this person holds us. Holds us accountable for this podcast, journey. It's really my man, okay? And it's really your man.
And honestly, and he is my man too. He's our man.
He's our man. This is our man. And, woo, man, for real. But anyways, Miss Nora, let's go in and check in to our mental health. How you feeling?
My mental health still remains pastel colors. I'm really like, it's like a season thing. It changes from day to day, but it's like a rainbow of pastel colors. You have the really bright days, the gloomy days, the in-between days. But I would say overall, it's pretty bright. There's potential, there's future, there's hope there. Mm-hmm. And I'm rambling. But what about you? How is your mental health? How would you describe it?
My mental health for this week is, how can I describe my mental health? My mental health for this week is like, you know, the Christmas cards with the mountains on the back with the snow. I just came back from Colorado, so that's the kind of scenery that's going into my head. Mountains in the back with the snow. But instead of snow being white, they're kind of like pinkish gray. I would say gray as in challenging. I'm kind of fasting this week. Sometimes I fast. I've learned how to fast and the meaning of fasting in our sabbatical that we took. And sometimes I fast when I want doors to open in my life and when I want to feel the presence of God and when I'm praying specifically for something to manifest in my life. So I think I told you and our man. Okay, I told you on our man this week that I'm fasting, the 66 fasting, and it's hard because this is the second day of fasting, and I just have to be steadfast, I just have to keep on going, but I'd be really hungry, it hit 2 p.m. and I'm just hungry, so that's just my mental health for today, for this week. My mental health for this week is the beautiful high mountain scenery with snow falling, but instead of the snow being all white, it's like a pinkish gray, if you can envision it. So that's my mental health, but overall it's good because that pink is that joy that I have in my heart. Okay,
period. Pooh.
But yeah, go ahead and introduce our man.
I mean, Lala already said it all, man. Lala, like, it's a hard act, your tough act to follow, pretty much. Introduced our guest for us. On today's podcast, we have a very, 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 very special guest. We call him our man. We have Akundi Ba, a.k.a. Uncle A.K.
What up, though, Uncle AK? What up, though?
What up, though? What up, though? How y'all feeling, man? How y'all feeling?
We're good.
How's
your mental health? Give us a vision. Let's see where your mental health is at.
My mental health is A1 right now. If it got to be a color, I would say it's the rainbows, because it doesn't have a color. It's just all over the place, man. You know what I mean? All over the place. I'm very bright. Very bright at that. Been really doing a great job at just focusing on what I really need to focus on and just stay there. You know, lock in, stay there, get things done, and sleep, man. Sleep is my new found friend, bro. Like,
sound like an old man.
I gotta sleep, man. I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. Sleep right now is the best thing ever. Ever. And the guy sleep. So,
man, people hit their 30s and all of a sudden I have to go to sleep. It's my bedtime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what are you hit it to?
Oh, no.
I mean, but AK, like, introduce yourself. We call you. Well, first of all, AK is our producer extraordinaire. The man wears multiple hats. He's a visionary. And he keeps us on track. But, like, you know, explain yourself. Tell the people who you are, because the people on My Banya, on our platform, I don't think they've necessarily been introduced to you in that way. Mm-hmm. So, like, introduce yourself. Who are you? What's your full name? What did your parents name you, and why?
We want your full government name.
Well, my parents.
Wink, wink. Come on, find you.
Wink, 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 wink. Okay, back. No wink, wink around here. To begin with, ladies and gentlemen, I go by the name Uncle AK. Let's get that right. You know what I'm saying? Uncle AK. You know what I mean? All the faces. But now, my government name, my papa and mama God given name, it's Akondi Mba. Mm-hmm. MBA. You know what I mean? It's not a degree. No, it's MBA. You know what I mean? A lot of people, you know, trying to play me, talking about, you got that degree. Yeah, I mean, of course I love an extra degree, but no, it's just my last name. Podcast producer. Love of anything technology. And yeah, man, they say I hold them accountable. I guess I'm a coach. You can say that. You know what I mean? Coach my athletes, you know, this podcasting thing. But nah, on some real though, just a humble kid, you know, a learner, an educator too at that. Grew up in, you know, Bamenda, Cameroon. Came to the States.
Shout out to Bamenda.
You know what I mean? Mm. Best place ever in Cameroon. Kwagyu, your grandmama. Why you guys look at me like this now? Like I'm saying
something. I say y'all used now in my banu.
You know, but yeah, you know, grew up in Cameroon, Bamenda, you know, came to the States, you know, so I live half my life in Cameroon, half my life here. Decided to start stuck in the middle with my brothers. And so far we've been it for what, 4 years now? And sometime down the road we decided, hey, listen, man, we have our sisters, our other brothers. We've been this thing talking. So why not introduce them into it? Why not bring them into it as well? They have a lot to share. You know, so bring them into it. That's what happened, you know, with you guys. The good and the cool part about it was before I was even thinking it, you guys were already thinking it. You know, you guys were already 6 steps ahead of me. So the minute I came to you guys, it was just boom, 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 knocked it out, and here we are. It's not been an easy journey, you know what I mean? It's too many hands in the, you know, in the same pot. But so far, we've been staring it, you know, in the right, so not right direction. But listen, man, you know, Rome wasn't built in one day and nothing good comes easy. This beautiful platform, you know what I mean? It's not just this beauty that, you know, you guys get on a weekly basis. You have to actually sit and see what goes on behind the scenes. It's a lot of chaos, but we bring this beautiful, you know, this beautiful episode, you know, this beautiful show every week for you guys to, you know, listen to, you know, them bangers. The energy that, you know, the radiating right now to the world, that confidence that they're bringing. People your age are not even vibrating at this frequency. You know what I mean? So having you guys actually share your experiences, you know, educate us, me in particular, because, you know, I'm Uncle Hothead to, you know, educate me on some things. You know, I really appreciate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, talk it. Speak the truth.
Oh, now you have a voice.
Okay, I was letting you learn. Now you're in my territory. I was letting you speak.
I've landed.
Yeah, speaking the truth.
A child of God, you know, an uncle, brother, a lover, you know.
Amen.
Like my man Aziz would say, you know, a brother's brother, a sister's cover. So, yeah, all of that. All of that. Yeah.
Wonderful. That introduction is powerful.
Well, AK, we are more than excited to have you here on a podcast. Thank you for being our backbone, our skeleton, our all in all, our man. We truly and wholeheartedly appreciate you. So, AK, go ahead and just describe yourself in three adjectives. You want me to explain what an adjective is?
Wow.
Serious. I'm very serious. Passionate. And a learner.
Okay.
I will go those 3 years. Yeah.
Alrighty.
If I have to add some more salt on it, you know, very, very family, a very family person.
Fine girl, yeah. Oh, fine girl, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, this part of the section of our podcast is called The Juice. So we're going to talk about a video that's been circulating the internet this week. I can't really explain, but there was a group of black women in a restaurant, and I believe it was a black owned restaurant, and the black women were twerking in the restaurant. I think it was one of their friends' celebration or party. So, you know, like when you hear, hey, you know the vibe. You already know the vibe when you hear, hey. So that's
good. Something, won't you back that ass up? I mean, basically twerk music.
Twerk music. And so that's the cue. Shoot, if you're for the culture, that's the cue to get up and start shaking or dancing or moving or something, because that's just the joy that we have installed in black people. And so what happened was I think one of the restaurant managers or owners came in and was saying that, hey, what are you guys doing? Why are you disgracing yourself? I did not establish this restaurant for you to come and act like fools and animals and things, just basically talking down on them because of their actions. So social media has been in a constant debate of if these were white women doing it, would it have been seen as provocative versus black women doing it? So it's just been a constant battle of, people are on different sides. Even black people are like, they were acting ratchet. Why are they acting ratchet in the restaurant? And people are like, no, they were having fun. That's, you know, I'd be dancing sometimes in the restaurant when my song comes on. You know what I mean? But we want to hear your thoughts on what you think about the video. I'm going to start with our guest, AK. Let me know. And if you have seen the video, let me know what you're thinking and what your thoughts are on.
We see it in the club, right? So what's the difference? They serve food in the club. They serve drinks in the club. What is the difference, really? It's still going to happen. You know, at home, women are twerking. At work, they're twerking. They even sit in the car, they're still twerking. It's a twerk fest out there, and I'm here for it. Because, you know, I like to see twerking. So, hey, let's go. I'll be in there. I'm like, Monday to Sunday, I'm eating there.
So, and you'll be like, hey.
And honestly, spoken like a true Cameroonian man, but like, I mean, like, there's just a couple of layers to it that, like, I was just kind of like, ugh, this conversation again. Firstly, the way that people view twerking in American culture is just so, like, especially black women twerking, it's just so weird because, like, I mean, as we know culturally, like, twerking is just something that's innate. Like, it's innate in our culture as Africans. Like, and it's just part of our culture, it's part of our dance. It's not something that's, like, sexualized where it's like, oh my God, somebody's shaking their ass. Like, it's a bad thing. We do it in traditional dances all the time. With, like, it's not something that's ostracized. And I don't see why it should be in this culture.
then we had respectability policy where people were like, oh my God, I can't believe you would like do that. Like, you're just putting a stain on people's business. I was like, first of all, it's your establishment. You set the atmosphere. If you play twerking music and you have and you're serving heavy amounts of alcohol, guess what's going to happen?
Twerk.
People's going to drink the alcohol and then they go listen to the music and then go do what? Twerk. I have a nice day. Like, I don't get it. And also, too, like, white women, when they be drinking during their Sunday brunches, they be going off doing all sorts of things. So I don't see why people had the unmitigated goals to stand up and be like, oh my God, like, where's your dignity? I don't see y'all saying that when videos of white women drunk off their ass and Sunday brunch be circulating.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I digress. But there was, I saw absolutely nothing wrong with that situation. The owner knew exactly what he was doing in terms of setting the scene, the atmosphere for that type of party. People know what goes on in brunch. So at the end of the day, if it's something that he's just so, so worried about, then maybe set up the atmosphere, set up a different type of atmosphere for your business and attract a different crowd. You know, at the end of the day, you want people's money. So, you know, it's your business.
I think that he would have, if he felt like it was being disruptive, he could have been like, hey, calm down a bit. You know, I know y'all lit. Talk to them in a personable manner instead of like, I'm really disappointed in you. What are you doing? You're embarrassing the whole Black culture. You're a disgrace, you know? He was basically degrading them, and I did not appreciate them. I didn't finish the whole video, but I hope they walked up and left, or they came back at him, because he had no right at all, no jurisdiction to talk to them like that. And again, going back to the history of twerking, as Nora mentioned, it's in our African blood, it's in our African history. Like, we had used to dance in Dombolo, Makusa, that's all twerking.
Down to that's very traditional, down to very traditional dances. Very
right, we've been very twerking since. It's just that how the culture of the dance migrated into the Western world and became sexualized. And in turn, like, you know, whatever America does, the whole world would follow, and in turn sexualize it in the whole globally. So we've been twerking. Twerking is an art. I consider twerking an art because
period.
Not everybody can move left cheek, right cheek.
Not everybody can clap that
up and down.
Right.
Make that pop, pop, pop sound.
I've been trying for years. I can't do it. Not everybody can back that ass up. Nobody, I can't clapping. I've been trying to clap. How? Too many YouTube tutorials and I still can't clap.
Girl, them YouTube tutorials, Lord, they haven't fixed my problem.
So don't come here and tell me, shoot, I can't utilize my God-given gift. And why do I have a big backside?
If I'm walking down the street.
It's not the size, it's the movement.
I'm walking down the street, I see a woman twerking. I'm taking my sweet, mellow time, and I excuse myself to actually give myself the permission to stand and watch. Okay. That's what we're doing. Okay. And when she's done, I'm like, thank you, have a good day, and I excuse myself. Yeah. Life is too short, man. Enjoy.
But I mean, Eki, what do you think about the culture perspective? Because like we said, like, twerking is something like we see in traditional dances. Mm-hmm. We see it like we grew up, like, you know, like we grew up watching music videos, like Fally Ipupa,
Napuka,
Olamide, all these like Makossa, these like indigenous artists incorporate twerking styles, you know. So like you see it in the village and then you see it in mainstream growing up. Like, what do you think about it? Like, you know, from that perspective.
I mean, anything that you bring here automatically turns sexual, like. America has found a way to just turn everything sexual because that sells the most, right? Mm-hmm. And then once that happened now, they turn around and say, oh, you who actually know how to do it and do it right, you guys are wrong for doing it, or you guys are bad for doing it. Why we gotta be bad for doing it when it's in our DNA? You know what I mean? When it's in our DNA?
Yeah.
And for me, it's simple, man. Some people like to smoke. Are the non-smokers going, oh, you guys are killing the environment with your smoke? No. It's like, yo, you guys are killing the environment, but hey, man, do you. Keep it moving. Same way, hey, man, this your trucking shit? I ain't with it. But no, do you. Keep it moving. What's my business there? Like I said, for me, I like to watch it, and I will watch it. My girlfriend or wife-to-be can twerk. I'm like, please, let's schedule at least one time a week to have twerk session. I'll make sure I pass at the bank. You know what I mean? Collect some $5 bills.
Yeah, I'm single.
You know what I mean?
Why
do people stress life, man? That's how people die of heart attack. Just saying. Fine girl, yeah.
Oh, fine girl, yeah. I don't know if y'all, I don't know, was it this early? It was last week, the end of last week. Maybe it was the weekend. Y'all, Nate got knocked the hell out.
It was
Woo! Nate got knocked the hell out by one of the Logan brothers, y'all.
Shout out to Nate for taking that punch, because that, he saw his whole life flash before him. He saw his life in different dimensions, in different earth, in different galaxies. Because,
oh, no.
Wow.
Hey,
y'all.
It was
y'all. The black community has taken.
Nah, man. See, listen, man. Let's analyze that video real quick. Because I've seen something different. I seen the fall, yeah, but that's not what I was paying attention to. Jesus. The part leading up to the punch, right? This hand of his left hand, was doing some, like, you know how normally a boxer would throw a punch, right? Mm-hmm. He was not throwing a punch. He was, I don't know if he was waving at somebody or he was trying to, you know, do some, I don't know, man, but the hand just went, it was where it was not supposed to be. And he got knocked out. So at that point in time, just that little time span, I just want to ask Nate, what the fuck were you thinking? My guy, like, in your mind, somebody's attacking you like that. A boxer is supposed to shield themselves, but you literally, you know, open yourself up for that. What were you thinking?
Ask him all.
That's how did this come about first? Was this like a friendly
No. I mean, Nate been training for a whole year.
Hey!
Just to do this, yes. Just to do this debut. He's been training for a whole year.
I know. Your village people will just come and disgrace you with one punch. This is how the village people will just come and disgrace you with one punch.
Wait, you said this man has been training for a whole year to be in disgrace like that. Hey!
It's not a portion in life. We forbid it and we forbid it. It's not a Nay, oh boy, just calm down. Just take a moment to yourself and just cool down. Just wait a couple of months, another news will resurface, and then you can come back.
You know what, though? I give it to him, man. I actually applaud him, because boxing is not easy, man. Like, that's not an easy sport. Not really an easy sport. So to actually do it, and not just do it like on the amateur side, to actually bring it to, you know, the TV, like worldwide TV, and actually box, man, that confidence. First of that level of confidence, that's something else. And then to even tweet and say, yo, NBA, I'm doing this for y'all, and then get knocked the fuck out. That's another one. You know what I mean?
Oh, he said NBA?
You know, he said NBA, I'm doing this for y'all. Like, the NBA, I'm doing this for y'all.
Oh.
Bro, I'm like, dog, you should have just gone and fought you, Jaja, you know, quietly. You know, they knock you out. Maybe the NBA would have come like, hey, I brought that NBA guy. Are you okay? But now you want to set yourself up a failure. Now everybody is making you the laughing stock of the town.
But who is Nate? Like, what is he?
He was like, he was a former basketball player.
Yeah, he's a former basketball player. He was really good, though, you know, for his height. He was really good. He was he also won the dunk contest, I think, twice or three times in a row. He was really good. So, yeah.
Anyways, the moral to this story is, make sure you check first with your ancestors before you go and try to represent them. Because
your blessing come them one by one.
No,
I need people to open your ears and shine your eyes.
Hey!
Before you go,
there's something more that you don't do.
Don't do.
Don't
this
do.
This man said he went as I'm doing this on the behalf. And like, you know, like I said, we do have to applaud his dedication. Like he was training for a year. That means mm-hmm. something, you know? But like I'm saying, when we're doing these type of things, especially as a community, I beg ya, just go and make sure you check in before you go and say I'm representing, because y'all, the jokes, Black Twitter was ready. When I say Black mm-hmm. Twitter was
ready,
like as soon it was like Snoop Dogg was over there adding pepper to the fire. So all I'm saying is check first with the people before you go and say I'm representing, so that you can just humble yourself when you go inside. It's like whatever result comes out, you know, you can take it. But I mean, at least it looked like at the end of the day, like when he got out, he was like, all right, y'all, you know, it was what it was. And then we're going to come back mm-hmm. stronger. So, you know, it was nice to get a little kiki after 2020 was what it was. It was nice to get a little kiki, like.
No, that punch defines 2020. That's 2020. That's the definition of 2020.
Don't when we go to the dictionary
and 2020, oh, Google 2020, that meme of him getting knocked out, that's what it should be, because that's exactly what 2020 is. You get knocked out and you walk up and say, it's all good, fam. We move.
Yo, Lala, you are so correct. Like, hey, the fight, it's like his whole posture and fight literally defines 2020, how we were at the beginning of the year, where we were just coming in like new century, it's gonna be my year. Yes,
that one year that he prepared was 2019 going to 2020. 2020 is going to be my year. I'm ready. 2020, I will learn, I will do this, I will do that, I'll travel here, I'll go here, I'll do there for where.
Poop. They swung. They swung. That man was on the floor, and that's been most of us just dragging through this the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what though? I'm mad at the coaching staff that somebody didn't say, "Bro, you're not ready."
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, somebody should.
Somebody should have been like, "Bro, you're not ready, bro." But you know, niggas be like, "Hey, yo, bro, you got this, bro. Hey, man, I believe in you, bro. You got this, bro."
That's true. And well, maybe there's a lesson there also, like, you know. Your friends do hype you up for certain things that, like you said, they hype you up for certain things, and you go, and then, you know, unfortunately, that is. But then again, like, I don't think anybody was expecting. I don't know, was it Logan Paul, or who was it? Mm-hmm. It's one of the Paul brothers, mm-hmm. and like, they're really like, that's another thing too. Like, they're really, really controversial figures that literally make money based on, like, you know, creating controversy, like. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of annoyed too, because like,
do you think he got paid to be knocked out?
I don't think he got paid to knock out. Like, I mean, somebody's pride is too much to be like, I'm going to train for a whole year. I'm going to come and say, I'm carrying, you know, the Black community on my back, and then go get knocked out by a racist white man. Like, it's like racism of one. Community down, like it was horrible.
Listen, give me a milli and see how far my pride will go in the trash can.
A milli to get knocked out?
Bro, listen, give me a milli.
He got knocked out because they're kind of wealthy. They, you know, build their brand and stuff. So maybe he got paid to be knocked out.
Nah, the
million, 3 million. That said, take this punch real quick. He said, I bet.
The other guy. The other guy has been in boxing for 3 years now.
Oh.
And he's been in boxing for 3 years now. Yeah, and he's actually been training for this.
Hey.
You know, he's been training for this. So
Uncle Nate, you wanna disgrace us? So.
Yeah, I was actually following up, you know, their training camps prior to, you know, that fight. In my mind, I just said, mm-hmm. Nate, they're gonna bury you, man. I don't know one the first round, second round, but that kid is gonna bury you.
They didn't bury him, they digged his grave. They use his body as
listen, man. I don't know if you guys ever seen where, you know, these people, they call them chantier guys, you know, in Cameroon, where they build houses, right? Like cement brick houses. When you see them go carry the cement, they don't even throw that cement back on the ground the way Nate fell down. They drop that cement back with delicacy. You know, they drop that cement back with so much delicacy. I mean, it was rough. That man probably even had a concussion when he hit the ground. That's where the concussion came from, like the impact to the ground.
He didn't wobble when he fell down. He just went flat down.
Bro, listen.
Nate, they said cement falling on the ground was more graceful than your knockout.
Jeez.
So simple.
Listen, that,
all right, y'all. Let's get off my guy, Nate. Y'all leave Nate alone.
Shoot. Nah, Nate will be fine, man. Nate will be fine. He got a 600K. He's cool. He's 600K richer than I am, so.
Hey. That's true. That's right. Fine girl, yeah.
Oh, fine girl, yeah. All right, guys. So the topic of this episode is called Meet Our Man. And, of course, our man is our wonderful producer, Uncle AK. Woo! And so, AK, we have a couple of questions for you.
Don't want to die now. Okay, come back
shoot,
here.
Shoot. Let's go.
Don't hide your face. Show your face.
Let's go.
Miss Nora, you want to take the first question?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to start it out. Like, you know, you already introduced yourself, the Stuck in the Middle brand, Stuck in the Middle podcast. But, you know, basically, since you're our darling, we know that you recently turned 30.
Mm.
So you got into your 30s. I don't know if you wanted us to disclose that information, but our boy is now 30. We just wanted you to talk about basically your life in your life now in your 30s. How have you grown as a person?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things like growth that you've undertaken to get up to this point? And where are you now in your life? And then you can start from, like, you know, your upbringing in Cameroon to now. But, like, what has that path been like to 30? And how is your mindset now as a 30-year-old man?
My childhood was good and not so good at the same time because I was rough. I was very rough and very destructive at that, too. So my mom would take me almost all over choir practice, the farm, to the store, just so I don't destroy the TV or the radios and stuff, shit like that, you know, or fight with my siblings. Yeah, man, that's how bad I was. So fast forward later, you know, come to the States, and I hated school too back home, man. Report cards always redder than I think Lala got behind her. It's cool though, because, you know, when I came here, all the training I got, you know, from Cameroon, you know, I just used that, you know, in school and just, you know, just slapping that book walk. I was like, man, this thing is so easy. So, school was tough. No, it wasn't as hard, but it was tough just that, I didn't really know the system as most people here. You know what I mean? One thing that I really, like, I'm trying to tell my, you know, younger ones is, yo, take as many AP classes as you can. Get into extracurricular activities because that's how you build, you know, that system of networking, public speaking and all whatnot. Just do something different out of your norms, right? That's something I had to learn here and I had to learn on my own because, one, my parents never went to school here or they never went to school back home to, you know, that. Or my older siblings never, you know, went to school here as well. So these are things that, you know, I'm learning too on the fly. And then fast forward later, you know, got my undergrad in information technology, got my master's degree in information technology as well. And now I'm currently working in the IT field, as people say, you know, still finding my path really. I'm not using my degrees for shit, you know, and that's intentional. I just felt like what I got a degree in, it's not really what I want to do now, but I'm still in the same, you know, playing field, but just navigating to something bigger and better than what, you know what I mean, I envision for myself. So with that, plus the podcasting, you know, we're Stuck in the Middle, Palm Wine Central, Mambanya, you know, Now You Know podcast, you know, with all these different, you know, platforms, just being able to work with, you know, this different dope individuals, man, learn a thing or two, you know, just on the hardest part has been trying to unlearn a lot, you know, working with you guys, working with, you know, my brother, Ma, you know, Tutu, Achiri, who am I missing? I'm missing one person. Charles, you know, stuck in the middle. You know, I've gotten to a point where I really had to, you know, change the way I think and the way, you know, I interacted with, you know, each and every one of them, because I was just always stuck in my ways. You know what I mean? No, I want to, you know, I want it this way, and you either do it or just let it be. You know what I mean? Like, no compromise or whichever. So having this platform has also, you know, made me grow in working with people and just trying to understand from somebody's perspective and not just mine, right?
Yeah.
Also listen to others. Listen, and listen more and speak less. So emotionally, man, I'm still struggling there, man. You know what I mean? In that area, I'm still struggling there. Just because, I don't know. It's tough. You know, it's tough dealing with one woman, you know what I mean? Or many. Anyways.
Rose eyes.
You know, anyways.
I all the way but, to the back of my head. What do you mean dealing with one woman or many?
I mean, it's just, you know, women are just, you know, complex beings to me. You know what I mean? God didn't give me a manual, so I'm just struggling day by day. I just love you guys the way you are. But
we tell you how we want to be loved, but you love us.
Oh, man, no, sometimes you even say some things that you don't even believe what you say yourself. You know what I mean? Because the reason somebody is like, but why don't you take... Listen, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole right now. Let's come back to... what we are talking about. We're talking about growth. Yeah, so emotionally, you know, in my 30s now, I've gotten to a point where I'm beginning to understand a lot. You know, mm-hmm. I'm more calm. You know, I'm more calm in, you know, my, you know, manner of approach and how I interact with women and all that. I'm more calm now than I was before. So I turn to see things a lot different now, and I turn to just... interact first as a friend, business wise, before anything else. Mm-hmm. Right. So that, and I'll forever be growing. So if my mom's actually waiting for me to be married, but I tell her, Ma, you're gonna have to wait for a bit.
Don't worry, that question is coming.
Yeah, okay, hold okay. That
pin, put your seatbelt on. The plane is still running. We're about
I have a follow-up question. Yeah. So like, okay. It looks like what I've heard from you is that like you started off as a chaotic kid, which, you know, and you know, over time you've learned to sort of hone in your energy to, you know, create to be more productive, and like based on the interactions and the people you've had in your life, say us, other women, your brother's family, you've learned how to navigate and do certain things and listen more rather than just speaking. And I love that for you, because it's coming up, I think, about a year that we've met each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh my God, I can remember meeting you the very first day. And I'm going on that, what did we go on?
Hiking.
We went on
a hike.
Yo, that was the most peaceful 1 hour of my life, like, to date. But I want you to speak specifically to the women in your life. How have the women in your life helped you realize certain things and start that process of unlearning certain toxic things?
My best friend is a woman. Right, my mom and my sub best friends, my sisters. Right, so I have four sisters and a mother, and we all grew up in the same house, you know, for an extensive amount of time. So, you know, from little, you know, I see all these different. Well, from little, you know, I just get all these different emotions. You know, and growing up, like, one day is hot, the next day is cold, the next day is medium. Like, dog, what is wrong with you? Why can't you just be happy? You know what I mean? But then I really didn't have the time to sit there and have conversations with them about, you know, the transformations that are going through, you know, in their world. And then being that I was in Africa as well, my mentality was shaped, you know, as an African man's mentality, you know, back home. Here, you know, over time, you know, with social media emerging and a lot of people happening on social media, a lot of people, you know, shedding light to, you know, all these different things that are happening in the world, right? You turn to start. And this is where that conversation of sympathy and empathy, you know, comes in, Nora, that, you know, we've been having.
Better speak on it.
Yeah, you know, you start looking at things different. You know what I mean? It's like, damn, what if, you know, you try, like, I try to put myself in that person's shoes, you know, depending on the day. Some days when I'm really going through shit, I really don't give a fuck about anything. You know, and those days, nobody should hit me with nothing because I don't care. But that's like once every blue moon. But, you know what I mean? On a regular day, yeah, just put myself in that, you know, person's shoes and ask myself, how would you feel if this was you? One thing that I'm really big on is giving back, you know, in any way, shape, or form I can. So when we speak of, say, women in Africa, for example, and, you know, the Cameroon crisis, right? People had to, you know, fled their houses to live in the bushes. You know, I seen this one video that women had to take, you know, the back of the trees to use them as pads, you know, when they're ovulating and stuff like that. And that's just sad, you know, when you see stuff like that, right? And then to also see that on the other side, there's just a bunch of men sitting and making rules and regulations for these women who actually go through this shit. You know what I mean? There's no balance there. You know, you just begin to start questioning a lot of things, right? Mm. So having this conversation with you guys, my parents, you know, not my parents, my mom, my sisters, you know, you begin to start on, well, for me, I start understanding, you know, where, you know, you guys are coming from, you know, how you say what you say. Like for me too, when somebody actually takes the time to explain something to me, you know, really explain to me, I sit there, I listen. But if it's like a fuss, I really don't take it. I'm like, dog, you cannot fuss this shit on me. Just tell me so I could, because at the end of the day, I always sit and download everything and I reprocess my day and say, okay, who did I wrong? You know, what are my gains for the day? What can I improve? You know, all that stuff. I have to take note, accountability of that at the end of the day. You know what I mean? I might not go apologize, you know, for my wrong deeds. That's on me, but I do take, you know, account of that and I do think of those things. So over time, especially during this quarantine, that, you know, we've had so many conversations, so many debates, to the point that, you know, at some point you would think that somebody would not even call you no more or would not even, you know, smile with you no more, right? But we'll still wake up and we'll still go, you know, about our day, knowing full of well that there's still a tomorrow, right? We could revisit this conversation some other day. You know, that's really been dope and that's really been helpful, you know, in my growth and the people around me too at that. So just, I think my relationships have gotten a lot better now that I can sit and listen and not just argue because I feel like arguing now, but actually hold a sensible conversation, right? To understand that give and take, that exchange. I think they have gotten a lot better now.
Are you still playing devil's advocate?
Girl.
I see people in the back because it was wondering.
Not really.
I'm the person in the back.
No, not really. Nah. That was then. Now I'm just, you know, I just say how I feel, man. You know what I mean? Why? I don't have time. I don't really have time to sit there debating, playing devil's advocate no more. Let's just talk and come to a, you know, conclusion. And you go about your day, I go about my day. Like I said, I like to sleep now. So, yeah, I'd rather sleep than go play devil's advocate, please.
So you've talked about the pros, how women have kind of built you, helped you grow in yourself and have this understanding of who AK is and how he navigates a world that incorporates women and sees women as equal. How do you think women have broke you?
Ooh.
And if they have?
The questions.
I know men out here be like, oh, women have did this to me. So I really want to know. Because there's a good and bad. There's a pro and con. You just said all the pro. I know you have some kind of con. Or maybe you don't. I just
want to
know your opinion on that.
Well, what the hell? Since we're here, I might as well speak. Listen, man. Me, I just hate when women use, some women use that monthly thing as an excuse for every fucking thing. I'm like, oh, I cannot pick up that controller because this is not. So if nobody was here, you're not going to pick up the controller, for example. And not necessarily that I'm mad or something, but it's just an example since you ask. You know what I mean? Let me put that out there. Yeah, I said it. Whoever wants to come and bite me, feel free. Anyways, moving on. I think things happen for a reason, right? Everything happens for a reason. There are certain things that, you know, some women have done that has shaped the way I look at certain things. But I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing. Why? Because I learned something from that. There's a valuable lesson from that I learned that one, I should not do, or two, I could do better. Right? So I'm not necessarily looking at it anymore as, oh yeah, that happened. So I'm gonna treat women different because of that, or I'm gonna do this different because of that. No, it's more of, okay, this has happened. How do I feel about it? And what's my next step in this whole, you know, situation? But one person's fault is not the fault of everybody. I cannot take one person's fault and go, you know, one person's thing and then go put it on another person. That would not be fair on the other person. So, Now I'm just more of, where's the positive, man? Where's the positive, man? Because I cannot be sitting every day just thinking of bad, 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 bad. That's depressing, yo. You know what I mean? And looking at everybody, you know, you guys were just smiling right now. You know, all 32 is like, I'm you guys' dentist. I have to be smiling too. You know what I mean? Shit, nobody wants to be sitting here, you know, tripping about stuff. So, yeah, you know. I've gotten my heart broken a couple of times. It's all good. I was loving the process of healing.
And you know, so what age group? I don't know how to phrase this, but what year in your life, was it in your 20s or your 30s that you decided to take this negativity that you felt like you received from the women who have broken your heart, shown you this, shown you that? What year in your life did you decide to use that and make it into positive and a growth moment for you? Was it in your 20s or your 30s?
This year.
Oh, wow. 2020?
This particular year, like this particular year. Mm-hmm. And I think, but it's because of this quarantine, actually, that gave us a lot of time to sit and talk about a lot of things that we normally would not talk about. You know what I mean? And it would debate and debate and debate about it over and over and over to the point where, you know, we don't even want to pick up people's phone calls. And that forces you to start thinking to yourself like, yo, am I really going about things the right way? Or am I really thinking about things the right way? You know, or okay, I'm thinking about this right, but how can I make it better? You know, so it's a constant, you know, for me, it's a constant thing. And I'm constantly doing it. Even sitting here, I'm still thinking, you know, how can I be better? What I'm saying, how can I deliver it better? And all that. So for me, the way things are showing there, I know that I'll have a lot of daughters. So I might as well just be acting right.
Period. You're going to have triplets and they're all going to be daughters.
Calm down.
Speaking into existence.
No, I want to have individuals. One, two.
No, triplet. Three. Everything, not triple.
Oh, Jesus. Anyways, triple. If God says, who am I to say no?
Amen. See? You see? Receive this blessing.
I receive.
You're coming from a future money. I'm telling you.
Tani.
Tani.
You be Tani.
Fine girl, yeah. Oh, fine girl, yeah.
Like, not necessarily pivot, but let's like move more into us, my Banya and the my Banya community.
Our relationship,
Lala and I, and then this podcast and this community that we're trying to create. Like, first of all, how do you feel about my Banya, like the concept, us, and the community and network that we're trying to build? And I'm talking, like I said, I'm talking about it from like from its conception until now, until date, and then, like, you know, looking forward to our future plans. And in general, like, what has it been like working as a producer with us in terms of individually together, our personal traits or whatnot?
Damn, yeah, yeah.
Y'all talk about it all.
Y'all took it there. Y'all took it there.
Yes, we took it there.
Damn,
sir. Speak with your chest, AK. This is a safe and clean space.
All right. She said, speak with my chest. So I'll speak with my chest. With the start of everything, there's the butterfly season, and then there is the season where, you know, there's that bacteria in your breath, and you're like, yuck, I didn't realize this person's mouth stink. And then there's that part where, you know, they go to the doctors and get their tonsils removed, and then they come back with fresh breath, and they're like, oh yeah, I really fuck with this person again, you know what I'm saying, type of shit. You know, all that to say, when it all started, you know, from the birth of it, you know, we all came in so much energy, you know, it was good, you know, the stars was, you know, for the taking, you know, all that good stuff. And then season one is over, boom. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, wait, first off, why do we even have seasons? You know what I mean? Because this is a constant. I'm looking at the bangers and I'm like, it's not one of those podcasts that needs seasons, man, because there's always something. There's always something. And if you guys are speaking on women liberations and all what, you don't take breaks from that. You know, but then again, like I said, man, I got to a point in time where I just listen and I'm like, yeah, that's what we want to do. Yeah, okay, cool. You know, why fuss and fight? We're still gonna come back and record. I used to see a lot of things my way, just my way and my way. But when I started seeing it as our way, right, it released a lot of tension in me, for one. You know what I mean? And then the way I approached our conversations, you know, as you guys have seen, it's not everything that I'm going to put my mouth in. There's just certain things that you guys will figure out on your own. I'm going to just sit in the corner. I see it. I'm not going to say shit. I'm going to just, you know, keep minding my own little business here. Till I see where, you know, I'm supposed to insert myself, then I go insert myself there. You know, Lala, you're doing a great job at, you know, putting the team together now. I don't have to sit down and say, oh yeah, what are we doing? No, you are doing a great job at it. And for me, that's a plus, because that's one thing off my back. You know what I mean? Now I can focus on possibly, you know, getting another, you know, podcast started at some point.
Are you leaving us?
No. Hell no, man. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah,
this
yeah.
It's a ride or die relationship, for listen, better or man, for worse.
Listen, man. You guys are the...
The union. Don't leave. You better not leave us.
You guys are the first wives that I never had that I have.
Wow.
But come anyways, on. Hey.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Come on. My cash app is...
Calm down.
Okay, let's relax,
calm
y'all.
Calm down. I only cash up $1 a time. That's my daily limit. Remember, I'm from Bamenda. What was that? Oh yeah. So over time, man, I feel like sometimes you really need people around you that would help you pump your brakes. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you could be traveling at 100 miles per hour and not realizing that it's okay to take a break, or it's okay to just sit the fuck down and think of something better else to do. You know what I mean? Like, no, really think of something different, not just this. Think of something different. So I always try and tell myself that every now and then. But I feel like now we have a better working relationship, better understanding because of that working agreement that, you know, we all had to, you know, come into. And I encourage every group out there, you know what I mean, create a working agreement for, you know, you guys. You know, you guys will better understand yourselves and better understand, you know, the path that you're trying to take. In terms of the message, this season two was solely for you guys to, you know, feel yourself. You know, fly as high as you can. If you like, you land, but just don't crash. You know, just land and stand like Superman, you know. Yeah, all of that stuff. So when you're going into season three, I feel like everybody already knows who you guys are. And when you're speaking, you know what I mean? They could reference saying, oh, in season two, they said this. Or, if you know, If they don't get it, my friend, carry your ass to season two and go and listen. You know what I mean? Type of thing. Like, we just know that season two, boom, you want to know them? This is that. So, I don't even know why I'm here today, but, you know, again, kudos to you guys for actually stepping up and saying, yo, we also want our voices heard, not just as human beings or women, black women at that, minus, anyways, I'm not going to say it, but, you know, what? Don't give me that look. How you know I was going to talk about you? Look. How you know I was going to talk about you?
Lala's it got a little hot in here. My turtleneck got a little...
Lala's ears were ringing. That's how she knew you were going to talk about her.
You know. But hey, guys. This is my sister's a single. Why are you guys single?
Excuse me. Nobody's asking any questions here. As a matter of fact, Lala, fire the next question.
We are interviewing you.
Lala, fire the next question.
Don't worry about our singleness.
Lala, fire the next question since he wants to be a deviant.
Anyways. Fine girl, yeah. Oh, fine girl, yeah. Anyways, your younger brother, Reflect, recently got engaged. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Reflect.
Shout out.
On your new journey into becoming and growing into with your wife to be. Congratulations. This is a huge step for any person to take. Huge step. Is there any pressure from yourself, your family, and society in general to be the next person to get engaged/married? What are your views on the institution of marriage as a whole, and why do you see it this way?
That's a very, very great question. A short and simple answer is a fuck ass no. I don't feel no pressure.
That's my man, period.
Yeah, no type of whatsoever other than happiness. Happiness for my brother. Why? Because that's the path that he chose.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's the family man. Like he thrives. Like let me put it this way. His day to day is about work, family, and manage the businesses that I have or the extra whatever thing that I got to do, right? So for me, I don't necessarily see it that way. When it happens, it's going to happen.
Right.
And put it that way. I don't think that I need to rush. I don't think that I need to follow a trend that who is setting, you know, or everybody looking at me saying, oh, you're the older one. You're supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to marry first. Nah, bro. Yeah. Like, there's no rules and regulations to this thing, you know. If I can't find somebody to get married to, I can't find somebody to get married to. And I don't see any reason why, you know, that should be bad. In terms of the marriage institution, it's one of those things that I would say to each his own. Why? Because there's some people who will get married and there's some people who will not get married. You know, in my funny, goofy self.
That's okay.
You know what I'm saying? I would say many are called, few are chosen. And it's okay.
Where?
You know, it's okay.
Hey.
It's okay. If you know that you just go and break you somebody's heart and divorce them, just don't do it. Don't go and put a stain on somebody's rap shit.
Wonderful.
And then you're going to be continuing your own life somewhere. No, just...
Well, AK, since you're my man and all, I had to defend you. I was like, mommy, Auntie Rose's son just got proposed to his girlfriend. She was like, Akundi, AK. I was like, no, not AK, the little one, Reflex. He's like, oh, I don't really know Reflex, but I know he does music. He does really good music. And he goes, what's AK waiting for? And it was like, what's AK doing? It's like, what's he waiting for? I was like, AK is doing what he's supposed to doing, and he's doing just fine, mommy. He's doing great. And she was like, okay. I was like, so I got your back.
But
like, I mean, I wanted to press you more on the society aspect, on the culture aspect. Obviously, all of us are Cameroonian here. If you haven't noticed by now, all of us are Cameroonian, especially from Bamenda. I remember on our hike, we had a conversation about family expectations, especially when it comes to marriage. And like, although we all have the like, it's my choice, it's my decision type of thing, what is society specifically? What is our culture? What is our culture as Cameroonians letting us know about marriage being tied to somebody in general? I want to press you on that because, like, we have this, and it might be part of that larger thing of unlearning certain things where we don't feel the need to bow down to societal pressure. But what does our Cameroonian society teach us or impose upon us, if I can use that word, forgive me, when it comes to marriage, the institution of marriage, being married, being tied to somebody else?
I want to speak on that, you know, including Christianity,
traditional family members will come and so Jesus, he said Christianity. Let me,
my family members, like, you know, permission to shake this table,
you know, and and people who do not see, you know, both sides is just there, just dangling there, you know, call them wanderers, whichever. But, you know, Christianity would say, obey your father and your mother. But does that mean that everything they say is right? No. I mean, you're not out here, you know, trying to, you know, make me whole. I'm trying to, you know, make this person bigger than he is right now, right? So you're not seeing and you're not going through what I'm going through. I'm experiencing life in my own way. But yet you want me to go about life how you see it. That shit don't make no goddamn sense. You can only counsel me. You can only advise me. But you cannot say I have to. You feel me? Because when you're not here, who the fuck has to? That's something in our African mentality that I just don't get it. But that's a topic for a whole nother day. Two, culturally they say, it's preferable to marry somebody from where you're from, your tribe. I see why, and I agree with it. But also too, what if you didn't grow up in your tribe? What if you grew up abroad and all you've been exposed to is those abroad? What are you supposed to do? Just go carry somebody from home and just bring them and magically what? Fall in love with them or just raise them as what, your wife? To kind of catch up with you where, you know, they kind of catch up with you at some point in time in terms of, oh, you know, they grew up in this place or you grew up in this place. They have to catch up with how people operate here. You know what I mean? Like, the fuck got time for that? You know what I mean? I'm trying to be elevated myself. I'm going further and further. You know, I mean, I don't have time to sit there and try to educate somebody else to bring them up to par with where I'm at. And then for them to level up and then we keep going. Why not just get somebody that is already there and we just keep going? You know what I mean? It would be nice, yeah, to possibly go back home, for example. You know, marry back home and come here. But my own history that I've seen and heard tells me that's a 50-50 bargain. Why the fuck would I pick such an option? No. I like math, so that math does not add up for me. Still, with the African thing is the first boy got to go first, but who said so?
Right.
You know what I mean? Or the first daughter got to marry first. Who said so?
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe first boy just want to live his life.
Maybe the first daughter just want to do nyanga thing.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe small younger brother just wants to be family man. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Now the new thing is, oh, you know what I mean? Get your kids young. That way, you know what I mean? While you're older, they're already grown. It's a very, very logical thing to do. But what if I'm just not ready? I should still go get the kids because I'm young? Nah, bro. I'm going to do it on my time, on my watch. I've been able to have conversations with my parents. I said, look here, you cannot force me into this. When I wanted to do it, it was a whole different conversation. Now I don't want to do it. It's a whole different conversation. But guess what? I'm not disrespecting you and I'm not getting what I want. That's a very perfect medium for me. And I'm just going to keep on moving, you know, building on me. You know what I mean? My self-esteem, you know, my portfolio and anything I touch, you know, be it podcasting, you know, videography and all whatnot. And just, you know, keep riding this wave, man, till I find that one person I feel like, you know, I could live the rest of my life with and go from there.
That one person that can be your equal.
Yeah, for
your
sure.
Equal.
Yeah, man. Because, you know, I'm not, you know, one person, I don't play that shit, man. Everybody got to carry their own weight, bro. Like, We are dividing these chores. Don't come at me talking about, no, we are dividing these chores. We are putting them on the table. We are saying, okay, I'm going to handle this one, and then you handle that one. And because
I don't think it's like divide. I wouldn't define it as dividing chores. I would see it's like, okay, let's see what is my weakness. Okay, like if AK and I were married, okay, AK, what's your weakness? What are your strengths? What are my weakness? What are my strengths? I'm good at washing dishes. You're good in drying dishes. Okay, that's it. You know, I love washing dishes, but I hate drying. I can wash, you can dry, stuff like that. So I think it's for a healthy relationship and a healthy partnership is playing off each other's strength and weakness, and also helping your partner strengthen their weakness and get stronger in their strength. So I think that's something that we have to kind of skew our minds of thinking like, oh, it's the divide. You do this, you do this. It's like, no, let's actually evaluate the whole person and see where you thrive and see where you fail and how we can help each other grow in that.
I agree with you, but tell me again, the difference between what you said and what I said.
So let me clarify, since I made the statement, right?
Okay.
The reason I emphasized you're equal is because, again, like, we all have the cultural context of being Cameroonian, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like our culture specifically, if you want to get down to our religious tradition, steeped very heavily in patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have this, you know, patriarchal setup where it's, you have the head of the household, the man, and then you have the woman that acts as a supplementary partner, where it's like you're here to add on, and not even add on, you're here to mold and bend to the will and do as the head sees fit. So that's why I emphasized equal. I wasn't necessarily speaking about dividing chores. I mean,
right.
you and your partner, and I emphasize partner as well because I do believe in partnerships. I'm not really, a lot of y'all know I don't really fuck with the concept of marriage. I emphasize partnership. I was saying equal because I was coming from this, like, we all have this cultural context of being Cameroonian, having cultural traditions that are steeped very heavily in patriarchy that says, hey, the man is the head. You have somehow you have like a natural advantage, which is just not true.
Nonsense.
And so, like, you know, as people who are modern and are unlearning certain things, and, you know, with your brother that's now just recently engaged in you, you know, thinking about in the future, you know, I was emphasizing that point because that's something that I don't know if it's something you think about in that way, in that manner, AK, but that's something that I think about a lot. As I see, you know, a lot of my friends now get engaged, start to think about getting married, start to have kids. I'm just like, you know, how is this set up? Because we're a community too, and we raise our kids and our family in the community. It's not, we're not, I mean, culturally too, we're not like gung-ho on the nuclear family aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm going to be an aunt to somebody. I'm going to be, you know, tasked with raising kids and helping out in this big family that we're creating. So what is this family looking like, and what are some of the beliefs that are running rampant through the community? That's why I emphasized that equal. I wasn't necessarily speaking about like tasks, but I was speaking about viewing another human being as an equal, like an equal, literally, and rather than a means to an end as a man.
So. I mean,
and I wasn't saying that you're wrong, AK. I was just highlighting. I agree with what you said. I was just highlighting in depth what you were talking about. So I wasn't saying like.
No. I wasn't saying that. I wasn't saying that. You know, you were right and I was wrong, or I was right and you were wrong. We're practically saying the same thing. The only difference is you were using grammar, you know, and I was speaking in sign language. But anyways, to Nora's point, Nora. Oh, Nora. Okay, let me say this. And don't take this out of context in any way, shape, or form. First things first, I'm going to approach this as simple as you're a woman, I'm a man. It's that simple. That already separates us. It already, in my mind, it really separates us in many different things, because there's certain things that you are designed to do that I cannot do, and there are things that I can do that I'm designed to do that you cannot do. So, in me separating that, I can already tell you that, yo, listen, man, even if I tried, I cannot do that. I can only support. I can only support. Now, when it comes down to just being human, right? I'm talking about that feeling, you know, love, you know, the emotions that run through you in general, right? My significant other will be my equal, because that will be, that's like my right hand, pretty much. That's the person that I wake up, that I wake up to. That's the person I'll go to sleep to. That's the person that would listen to the good, bad, ugly. So to not take such a person as equal to who I am don't make sense to me as a human being, right? Because that's the only way that I can actually really, really, one, love them, and two, respect them. That's the only way. If I don't say it that way, it will be hard. It will be very hard. But that's just me and the way my brain is designed to think right now. But I do agree with what you said, though. I just have that little, you know, that little clause in it. Just that little clause.
Fair point. I mean, like, we can go on and on because, like I said, I think they're just, like, you know, minor things in the way we framing and shaping things. But, hey, as long as we're continuing on this path of unlearning some of those toxic things and, you know, listening and learning new things, then, you know, I think we're headed in the right direction, and not to be cliche or anything, but, you know, I think if anything, I've learned that we owe people grace. You know, Twitter's a crazy world, but there's a lot of shit that I've learned on Twitter. Like, you know, whether it's just like being introduced to a new concept and then going and doing research on my own to be like, like, let me better understand this person's point of view, or just opening my mind up, making sure that I'm accommodating to other people, because I know sometimes we don't realize it, but our language and the way in which we are raised sometimes makes it so that we're ostracizing certain people, certain parts of the community that don't, like, you know, like, you know, just don't need to, and we're somehow invalidating people's humanity when that isn't what we should be doing. But, you know, I say all that to say that, like, you know, there's a certain grace that we all need to be afforded, and certain correction that needs to be had when it's warranted. Fine girl, yeah. Oh, fine girl, yeah. Wait, spotlight moment. Ooh, Lord.
Oh, yeah, AK. Who, you were supposed to bring someone.
Yeah, I got it.
Hold on. Organization or a thing.
I got it.
For today's show.
I got it. Highlight for this episode is Fit Mom. Her IG is at FITMOM_FIX. Fit Mom. Bro, listen, man. This workout thing I've been doing, it's not easy, man. When I sit and I really don't feel like doing it, I kid you not, I just go on Instagram, right? And I go look at Fit Mom's page. And this might sound very, very horrible, but in my mind, I'm like, damn, this show is killing this shit. What is my excuse? Mind you, I could have seen another guy's page, yo. In my mind, I'm like, nah, man, this guy's doing too much. But that guy see her page, I'm like, damn, there's no way, man. I have to go my own. So, you know, shout out to her, man. That's my.
So your pride is in there, like, gang, I will not agree.
I have to make it work for me somehow, somewhere now. You know what I'm saying? I have to make it work somehow, somewhere for me.
Have fun.
You know, because it's not easy, man. It's not easy. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not easy, man.
You've been disciplined. Like, I've been watching your progress. You've been disciplined.
Son, listen, I'm telling you, Fit Mom, she does not even know. Huh? I just look at it, I say, if this Fit Mom can do it, me who is not even a dad, what's my excuse? Walking around here looking like somebody's granddad. No.
That's
very, very,
that's very, very body positivity, guys.
No, man. See, at my age, I should not walk around here looking like Gando.
Like Mr. Ibu and Sam.
You know what I'm saying? I'm an adult.
You guys are terrible.
Body shaming or not, I don't care. At my age,
but seriously though, I think on your like I said, I'm speaking for you personally. Obviously, it's a personal milestone that you feel like you need to hit, and like I admire your discipline during that time, you know, just. there are a lot of people out there that maybe are struggling with body image issues, or just their head isn't in the right place, or they just really just want to accept who they are. No pressure. They want to get out of the mold that society oftentimes tries to fit us into unnecessarily, I feel like. You know, I want to give some love to those people. And obviously want to give love to people that are also inspiring people maybe to get out of, get out, you know, do something, accept themselves, be more themselves. Shout out to that.
Fine girl, yeah.
Oh, fine girl, yeah. Let's move on to the section of our podcast where we get questions from all of our different scenario and we ask the Banya community and we just talk about it. So this, shout out to Six Brown Chicks, always keeping us entertained on Twitter. This says, every month I'm forced to have Sunday dinner at my mother-in-law's house. Her house is falling apart. I'm always fixing it. Her cooking got me sick 2 times. She doesn't like our son, caught off his locks without my permission. My wife is scared of her mom. Help. Well, first off, I want to talk about the dynamic of the mom, the mother-daughter dynamic of how, like, there's some type of innate fear of your mom. If it's the health, it has to build a healthy, but go ahead, y'all. I can go on being the first.
Speak your truth. Speak your truth, sir.
It's just like being the first daughter, especially from our society and in an African household, I had this kind of fear of my mom. Like, I was afraid to tell my mom that I had my period. Because I felt like she was going to beat me or do something, because we never had this
level conversation.
Of conversation or comfort or of being. It was just like, I'm the high authority. You're the lower authority. What I said, go. Mm. So it's just this mother and daughter relationship that I've, as my year of growing up and growth and becoming myself, I just had to internalize, like, dang, we really don't have a relationship. Our relationship is based on you're the daughter and not my mother. So how do I build this bridge? How do I see you as, how do I become to see you as a friend? Like, how do I start seeing you as a friend? And how does that look like? Like, how would our friendship look like? And it's weird moving from that one space of mind to that other. But yeah, go ahead. That was just my thought on here.
Again, do you want to answer? Because I know you're more so like you're like a strong willed person. Like, I'm not.
I mean, I think as a son, there's that obligation to behave as a son, right? In my family dynamics for me. 9 out of 10 times, my dad, for example, my mom might do something or say something that might not resonate with me. But at the end of the day, with the growth that I've attained right now, I ask myself, do I have time for this shit right now? No, I don't. So I'll stand there and I'll nod my head. I'll be like, yep. But as I'm leaving that shit right there. And I'm going about my business. Right? But if it's something that I feel like I can use, I will stand there and have the conversation and explain myself to why I did it the way I did it. Or why I'm thinking of doing, I'm doing it. For them to understand where I'm coming from, right? One thing that I've been able to do is eliminate fear. I respect my parents. I don't fear them. And I sure do hope they respect me and not looking at me as a kid.
That's deep. Say that again. You know, I respect my parents, not fear them.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. And I told my moms, I said, bro, the only way we can really do this friendship thing is if you just respect me the way I respect you. You know, you take me as a friend, not negating the fact that you're my mom, because you will still show up as my mom. But in times when I need you as a friend, you know, I need you as a friend. Put that mom shit aside, because you will always be. You feel me? And she's been able to, you know, adjust like that. You're speaking about, you know, that first daughter and mom relationship. What about first son and dad relationship? You know what I mean? Especially from an African household, you looked upon as the person you're supposed to pass the torch to. Nigga, pass what torch? I'm torching my own way into this life. You know what I mean? I'm creating as many torch flashlights as I can. I'm sitting waiting for just one flashlight, bro. Nah, I'm not doing that shit. You feel me? And I'm not saying this like in a prideful way, but I'm just saying that, yo, there's so much that they've put in our minds, you know, growing up back home, that we come to a different place and we cannot even thrive at the speed that other people are thriving because we are held back by our mentality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Like I said, man, I told my dad, yo, son, my dad is ex-military, for example, you know, and he'll always say things and relate them to the military. Some people are like, I don't give a fuck about no damn military, bro. You're not in the military no more. How many times I got to tell you this shit? You know, you want to treat people like they're military? Go to the military. We didn't choose to go because we civilians. We want to live a regular life. So if you're approaching me with a certain thing, don't come commanding me because I'm not going to do it. You can talk to me and say, hey, son, could you please help me do this? Or could you do this? Don't come and say, I need you to do this. Okay. Yes, dad. 2 days later, you will still be needing me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm not saying that this goes to everything. You know, you in life, you have to pick and choose your battles.
Very true.
In that scenario, man, me, I'll just say, man, sometimes with the elders, you just got to let them have their way for your own sanity.
And you have
sometimes
to boundaries.
Yeah. Boundaries.
Cutting off my son's lock without my permission.
Oh hell no.
Nah, man. Nah.
Woo!
It's so weird. Like, I think somebody said this a long time ago, and it keeps reverberating in my ears, and it's resonated with me thus far. And it's like, sometimes the best things for certain relationships is distance. Mm-hmm. Because like, if I keep saying something and putting boundaries and you're not listening, then like, you know, sometimes the best thing is to have distance so that people can sort of reevaluate what they are. Because I think the worst thing is to be misunderstood or to come across or somebody feel like they're disrespected, because y'all already know, like, when somebody disrespects you and you feel disrespected, bro, it's on site. Don't even talk to me, because the next thing that's going to come out of my mouth is I'm going to cuss you smooth out and I'm going to walk away. So I think we also have to think about it from that perspective too. Like, I think the point is to have a conversation, set boundaries and set limits and be like, this is my boundary. I heard what you said, but my boundary, I'm not doing anything outside of this boundary. Now, you can respect that or we can have distance. But I think that disrespect back and forth, yeah, 2020, this from here on out, we not doing the little back and forth. So for me, my suggestion would be put distance. I'm not showing up to your house. I'm not coming to anything else until that those boundaries are acknowledged. And if you are that hard pressed to see me, we can meet somewhere in the middle. We can go for brunch. We can do a little twerk fest brunch, mother and daughter twerk fest brunch. Or meet somewhere where we don't have to feel like, you know, we don't have to be in the house cooking or whatever, and move on with our life. But, bro, it's not going to be no disrespect, and you certainly are not going to disrespect my boundaries.
So how would you guys advise these, I'm speaking from an African child perspective, these children at their grown age who are still afraid of their parents, still kind of let their parents run and roll their life, like, how would you advise them to kind of break that cycle so they can be better for their children and not innate the same fear in their children?
You know, I'm very interested to hear all our perspectives, because like, yo, we all have stories to tell. I'm not even gonna hold you. I'm still at a point where like, I'm setting my boundaries, because again, like, that first daughter dynamic is very tricky. Like, you are literally born into a role of like caregiver. Sometimes you act as like you're the house help, aka daughter, mother, caregiver, you're everything. And I just don't know, like, I mean, and then I also look at it too from a different perspective, especially as African women, like Cameroonian women, society and culture just treat you a different way. And when you marry into a family with this whole patriarchal dynamic where it's head of household and all that nonsense, there are certain things that our mothers internalize that, and they have to go through as human beings that we don't understand. So sometimes I think about that too, and it allows me to give more grace, because I'm like, you know, in as much as I want to just go ham, like, I understand that there's certain things that you internalize because the way society forced you to do certain things that I'm not going to internalize. And I have to understand that. My advice would be, like I said, pick your battles. Pick your battles wisely. Like, that is key. I get really tired of repeating myself, and I get really tired of going back and forth. I'm not a confrontational person. And I don't like, and I do not like, you know, going back and forth. I hate it even more when I get out of a conversation feeling like I've been misunderstood more than, you know, more than I was in the beginning. My goal at this point in my life is to analyze conflict analysis and dispute resolution, analyze conflicts and bring an end to disputes. So if I feel like some of the things I'm pushing, some of the ideas I'm pushing are causing more problems than they are like coming to solutions, then I tend to step back from those conversations.
Yeah.
And you know, I give people some time to think about it too, because I feel like our African parents are also unlearning certain things, maybe at a slower rate. So give some time too. You know, I don't have kids. Maybe when I have kids, I'll understand a different dynamic. And then, you know, maybe I'll be able to have a conversation with my parents at a different level, knowing that I've had kids and I'm a mother, or whatever you want to say. But I think my goal and my advice would be to kind of gauge where the conversations are leading to. If the conversations are fruitful, then I would implore you to continue to have the conversations. But if you find yourself in sort of like a circular motion where you're having more disputes and you're not coming to any sort of resolutions, I would say take a step back.
Yeah.
Put distance, space, set your boundaries hard, like hard. Mm-hmm. And see where it goes from that. If people don't come around, then fuck it. Sometime they're going to have to.
I definitely agree with boundaries. I think for me is my parents realized my boundary when I decided to go to college 5-6 hours away. And I was living by myself and I was doing everything. I came to visit like once in a blue moon. Shoot, I set boundaries by giving them that space, like, you know, I am grown. And when I came back, they tried to like dictate how I move or tell me something. I'm just like, I've been living by myself for 5 years. You don't know what I've been doing, like, you know, for 5 years. Like, I am okay. And then I'm just a very independent person. And my parents are aware of that fact of mine. I'm outspoken and I'm independent. So I think they respect that of me, or maybe they fear me because of that. I don't know. Either way, it's a boundary, you know, it's a boundary. And I don't know, just the growing, the relationship with me being a first. We should really have a episode on being the first child or being the first daughter, because it's a really, it's a fear that if you don't do your responsibility right, someone's going to shame you, something's going to go wrong. It's just a heavy burden on you. And I was on Twitter and it's like our love languages are different because we are first, you know, sons, we are first daughters of, you know, of African household. Like, we think differently and we look back at our siblings and we're like, did something go wrong? We wonder, like, we're like, where is the disconnect and what happened? So this will be a really great episode, my banya. But AK, what do you think? We can wrap it up. One last question.
Well, you know, thank you for passing the mic, ladies and gentlemen. I'll start by saying this: if you are somebody who, you know, is to depend on your parents, please just shut the fuck up and just sit there and keep being independent. There's no debate. Oh, there. Just please. Don't even ask no question.
Uncle AK said, keep quiet there.
Just, you know, stay there and dependent key you there. Hopefully not. But, you know. Let me start messing around, man.
Wahala day for this person that's dependent.
Table, AK. Shake it.
But now, man, I think certain things are done and said, man. You know? Because for me, it's more of, oh, okay. No, I literally ask questions first, you know what I mean? Just to see, to get the, you know, as it says, scan the room now. I ask questions first to kind of see how somebody's feeling about something. For example, hey, Dad, how do you feel about tattoos? Oh, if one of my kids get it, I'll just die. Okay, we'll see. Tomorrow, boom, tattoo now. Did you die? No.
He can show this whole sleeve, like, what?
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. There's just certain things that at some point in time, you just have to do, man, you know?
Yeah.
You just got to do. You just got to do because you never really know how somebody might react until you do, you know? And if it's something that's burning inside of you, might as well do it. It's only one life to live, man. Only one life to live, you know? One of my favorite songs right now is that one song that say, you drink, you smoke, you die. You no drink, you no smoke, you still die. So regardless of what, you still die.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
you know what I'm saying? So just live life, man. Push some buttons. You know, the difference between me and Dr. Dre, for example, because he decided to push each and every one of the buttons. Me, I'm looking, I'm like, damn, if I push that one, I might break the tin. You know, the tin looks very, very soft, you know, it's nice, portable. You know, if I push it, I'll break it. No, somebody will say, you know, I will push it. You know what I mean? So right now, I'm not scared to push those buttons, man. The most somebody's going to do is say no or yes or God forbid, smack me. I just hope God forbid because I'm smacking back. you know, yeah, but just do, man. Of course, you know, in you know, with guidelines. I'm not saying that, you know, go out and climb on top of a motorcycle and start going at 100 miles per hour when you don't even know how to ride a motorcycle. You know what I mean? Now, don't do that, fam. Don't do that, fam. You know what I mean? Just breathe in your immediate environment, man, where you feel most comfortable. And let it be, you know, let it show that it's adding value to your whole being. Because if it's adding value, nobody can tell you otherwise, you know? So, yeah, that's just that.
Yeah. Definitely. Speaking of breaking and pushing buttons, our Banya community want to know, what's your favorite sex position?
Huh?
I am nowhere in this question.
Oh, no.
Lala, you play too damn much. It's about to be 12 midnight.
It's and a you scissors, man.
Questions like this at 12 midnight. These is whole hours.
Yeah, I segue breaking and pushing and buttons.
SBO special.
Hey, God.
Now, to answer your question, is a scissor.
I don't know what that is, the y'all. Scissors? I'm a pure virgin.
Scissors. Why not try the scissors before?
Okay.
Well, I tried the tape. Oh, no, look. He's showing visual representation.
Y'all, it's time for us to end the podcast now. Thank you very much for coming. These two people, these two individuals that I love very much decided to just, I don't know, maybe it's the time, you know, they are working individuals, so their brain just bursts at a certain point and they don't know what they're talking about right now.
What do you mean? This is from our ex-Banya community.
Right.
This is a
you podcast. Mean to tell me somebody was really that they couldn't mind their business?
They really wanted to know AK's.
I beg ya. If it's somebody that really wants to get to know AK, tell them to slide in his DMs.
They want to know how he was.
Is he single? Jesus.
AK, they want to know you single.
That should have been the first question you asked. Ask
this one. Right. I was moving fast.
Hey.
AK, what's your status?
Yeah, a brother is single, you know.
Period.
Single, are really ready to mingle, or single and sidelining?
I'm single on my business, man. You know, don't disturb me. Don't disturb
our mans. Well, Iggy, no, you're not single. You're married to us. Rewind.
Yeah. You know, you know, first wives. You know what I mean? So if you're coming through, just know, you know what I mean? You'll be the second and third and fourth. But I got, you know, I got two first wives. You know what I mean?
Come on.
So, yeah, man.
Our man said he's single and about his business. So if you're about his business, meet together and y'all can be about y'all business together. Okay.
Slide in our DMs, slide in his DMs.
Right.
We're taking just anyhow your message will get to him. This, a matter of fact, tis the season, right? This is the holiday season, so your wishes will come through.
Our man said he wants somebody that can buy him that PS5.
I don't fuck about no PS5. The hell wrong.
Okay, I'm trying to sell your market. What's
no,
this?
Please, nobody bring no PS5 to me.
Down, let me sell.
If a woman
I'm
buys
the market seller, you're listen, the product. What's this?
Listen,
if I'm trying to sell your market.
If a woman buys me a PS5.
This is what we can have nice things.
No, listen. If a woman buys me a PS5, she's automatically cancelled.
Why?
Because she does not know. She does not know my values.
No values.
She does not know my values.
Your
she does
values.
Not know what I stand for or what I
what's
represent.
What's your love language? Ooh, what's you know your what love saying? Language?
My love language, number one, is physical touch.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? And number two is acts of service, I believe.
Why you don't sound sure about that.
No, I'm trying to remember the love languages.
Remember at the beginning we were talking about love language. Aka didn't know what love language was.
Yo, yes, Aka y'all. Let me tell you, this
bro,
guy,
you had no idea no, what love language no, was. No, right no. now, this is a moment of realization, aha moment. Right now, you're just spitting out your love language like, dang.
No, y'all gotta understand that this man, even by his own admittance, this man, when we first got him, right.
When we first acquired him, when the angels
first came down and dropped him into our laps, yo,
our
this
laps.
Man, it was every day we were pressing him. Lala was pressing him on the left. I was pressing him on the right. It was bad, y'all. But like yeah. I said,
oh, I got it now. I got it. So you know, I even took notes as I was reading. Anyways, listen. Number one is physical touch. Number two is quality time. Number three is acts of service. Number four is gift giving. And number five is words of affirmation. Just because I don't need no damn affirmation, man. I'm my own affirmation, man. You know what I'm saying? But the rest, you know, they come in that order. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, you're a physical touch and quality time guy.
Yeah, man. You know,
so,
man,
if you want a physical touch, AKA and quality time him, slide in our DM.
Period.
And you have to
but he don't want no PS5.
And you have to, you know, have to take consent too.
Consent,
of course.
Consently, physical touching.
Consensually.
Consensually. Yes.
Consensually. Hey, English.
Consensually. Consent. Yes. Yeah. Do that. With consent.
Consensually.
Let us know. Consensually. That's how you conjugate that.
Listen, English teacher.
No.
You that was skipping English class.
No, we know you're about to go into your grad program.
English teacher,
no.
Listen, please help us conjugate this. Is it, what was the word?
Consensually?
Which one is the right word?
Consensual. I think consensual is like the act of it, but consent is.
Hey.
Don't quote me.
Did you pause or freeze in air? What just happened? Which one was consent? I'm like, please don't kill me.
Y'all, it's okay, y'all. It's really about that time to wrap this joint up, because at this point we done start conjugating and making up words.
Man, it's hour 44.
They're real words, but how to use them properly?
That's English is hard.
English is very hard.
English is not my first language. English is not our first language. It's none of our first languages. So.
Not pidgin.
Naka na naka wongongong.
Gongong.
Yo, y'all, this was fun. This was fun. Do we have a fun fact?
Oh, a fun fact. I have one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everybody gonna die at some point in time. Nobody lives forever. That's my fun fact.
Okay. We thank you.
Thank you, AK.
We thank you.
Everybody, our man.
Our man, clap for him. Round of applause. He's growing. He's growing.
We have grown. AK has grown.
Hey.
Master. You guys should have seen him in the beginning.
He almost finished us. You know how African press is like, you not finish me. He nearly finished us.
I haven't turned red once before recording. That's how you know AK has grown. And I
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, I give you that one.
But y'all, it's about that time to wrap this thing up. AK, we love you. You know we love you. AK is our producer extraordinaire, our man. I don't know, something, our brother, husband, whatever you want to call it, husband. He's an amazing. He's
part of the My Banya community.
Yeah, he's part of the My Banya community. Okay. He's an avid supporter. He's a motivator. He's somebody that pushes us. And he's somebody that I have been and we've been fortunate to see grow, mm-hmm. and to see continue to grow. Like literally, like the conversation that we had today is probably one of the longest ones we've had, just because like these are the conversations we have like off the record. But like I look forward to seeing more, like to just genuinely seeing more of your growth. Like it is, y'all. I know y'all gonna have some heat and some smoke, and I'm ready, and like I will take everything in stride. But like I just really have to take this moment to like, you know, kudos to you first of all for giving us the platform to create My Banya and to continue to speak about our perspectives, whether it's through writing or through this podcast, or is even contributing to the like greater SITM podcast in general. Really want to take this moment out to thank you. Thank you for creating that platform. Thank you for continuing to push for that. Even during moments where we completely disagree and we're not on the same page, you continue to be like, you guys have something to say. Y'all need to continue to say it and you know, like continue to push forward. Thank you genuinely for that. Thank you for coming on and shedding light. People are going to be introduced. This was important because we wanted people to be introduced to you. Who you are to us, and what the stuff you do outside of just pressing the buttons and chopping stuff up and making us look pretty good. Right. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing your ideas. Thank you for being you. Thank you for growing. God, thank you for growing.
Thank you for growth. You are the us indeed, and I definitely agree with My Banya. On that note, AK, cut the beat. Fine girl, yeah. Oh, fine girl, yeah. Yeah. It's reflex. One time. She said, I got a rendezvous, I'm about to meet a friend or two. You know it's summertime and we might just hit a barbecue. If your name was Juliet, then I'ma be your Montague. If I took your program, meet on me for Carrefour. Alright, shorty, yes, I guess it's you. You the one I like, I really wanna be with you. They be saying this and saying that, girl, ain't nothing new. I'm the type to pull up for a drive, me and you. Cause if I'm lonely and I call you, would you come through? Girl, you know I kiss you better than the sun do. Every morning, can't wait to tell you bonjour. Don't be me if you talk like you know it's all true, yeah. Run it back.